Welcome to episode 109 of the Geocaching Podcast. I'm your host, XpunkX, with
Daryl W. Ford.
Tonight, we'd love to have you on our show. However, TalkShoe's not cooperating with us, so we're just going to record an offline episode. If you have any comments about this show, please call our voicemail line, which is 206-350-3GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. Well, Monty's actually not with us tonight. He dropped us a note this morning to let us know that he hurt himself on a fall onto the tile floor. Fortunately, his doctors tell him that it's just a badly bruised, but he does say to stay off of it for several weeks. So the best of luck on recovery, and we look forward to having you back on our show soon, Montu. Daryl, how have you been?
Well, not too bad. I was sick a little bit last week. Actually missed a day and a half of work, but no real caching going on, just some podcasts, and that's been keeping me busy along with some family stuff. Sad to hear that Montu's not feeling well, though. Hopefully he does heal up pretty quick. Now, I know you've been having some bad days at work lately. Anything else going on?
Not really, yeah. If you've been following me at all at Twitter, you know that it's been kind of an interesting couple weeks. I've got a lot of people, I don't know, it seems like no one appreciates us help desk people. So, but I'm fortunate enough to have a job, so I can't complain at all there. We did, as far as geocaching goes, we placed a cache the other week. It was actually this past Sunday, and it was just approved. So, actually had dropped the last Cachemaniacs mystery guest coin thing in there.
Well, that's cool. It's I think there's like one sitting in our bag yet to drop too.
Now, Daryl, there's some news out here with Groundspeak. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, we'll get into it a little bit more, but we've discovered that it's not just Groundspeak that's having problems tonight because TalkShoe wasn't working either. But Apple has finally released Groundspeak's geocaching app version 2.1 to the App Store, and that just happened last night. The update supports some new stuff like loading pocket queries. It adds satellite views for mapping. And my favorite feature is the custom waypoints. So when you do multi-caches or puzzle caches, you now have the option of adding waypoints to it. Many users, though, have been reporting problems with the latest build, both on Twitter and in the Groundspeak forums. For example, if you have an ampersand in your screen name, which is that and symbol, you're not going to be able to log in. Now, Sodi Girl and Komodo, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, and I apologize if I didn't, found a workaround, though, and posted it to the Groundspeak forums. All you have to do is replace the ampersand with the escape code, which is the percent sign, then the numbers 2 and 6. So it's percent 26. And if you're like myself, you can just drop that right in, and it works like a charm. Now, I've had the application crash a few times. Josh Lytle, I think is how you pronounce that one, who is the app developer, did post to the thread and confirms that there are now three issues that they're looking at with this update. One, the app crashes at startup. To resolve this issue, he suggests deleting the app, then reinstalling. Two, users with the ampersand in their name are having issues, and that can be solved with the percent 26 fix that we mentioned earlier. And three, the app crashes randomly after loading a very large pocket query. There's no fix for that yet, but they're working on a resolution in the next version. If you do the upgrade, make sure to keep version 2 handy to revert back to if you experience too many problems to use it. But it seems like if you can get it logged in, if you don't use the pocket queries, you should be just fine. And hopefully that next version 2.1.1 or whatever they decide to call it won't get held up too long at Apple like this one had. But we'll post links to the App Store, to the GC Forum, and to that reply from Josh Lytle. Now, Andy, I know that Smittyware is still working hard on their Android app. What's up with that?
That is true. They've added two more updates to their CacheMate software for Android since last week's show. 1.1.2 is a major upgrade was to the import and export function, while 1.1.3 addressed bugs which would crash the app. We'll have links in the show notes for each of these releases. Daryl, there's some really strange news coming out, too, that I've seen all across Twitter. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and actually, Podcaster mentioned it as well. And it's another one of these stories about people trusting their GPSR a little too much. This time, a contractor demolished the wrong home in Carroll, Georgia. The contractor, based out of Marietta, said that the coordinates on their paperwork showed that the house was to be torn down. The owner of the home believes that the abandoned home across the street had been the intended building to be razed. We'll have a couple of links in the show notes to some of those news stories about the situation.
Now, to me, it just makes sense not to use the coordinates. I mean, we all as geocachers know that the coordinates can be off, you know, quite a bit. And with the houses where they're that close, that's a major thing. I would be pretty ticked if I was the guy that was the homeowner.
Oh, no question. I'd be really upset about that. But coordinates are nothing new in construction. This is something that everyone does. You just can't trust your handheld's receivers. You have to get the nice big survey equipment out, whether it's the more accurate receivers or something else. But still, you'd think that they'd have done something more than just go in. And from what I read on some of these stories, they actually did go in, remove the power, and then like a couple of weeks later came back to demo the house. So the homeowner, who doesn't actually live in the home, it was his parents' home, wasn't there for at least a couple of weeks to notice that they had no power even. So had they waited, or had he gone back and noticed it, maybe he could have done something.
So I guess the moral of the story is go to your house more than a couple times a week.
Yeah, what if he was on vacation? It could have been just a timing thing where he had just left on vacation. They knock out the power and they come down and knock down the home before he gets home. But, it's just one of those really weird, bizarre situations that you figure something somewhere along the line should have stopped it.
Yeah, you'd think that something would have stopped it.
Obviously, it didn't, though.
Well, Daryl, we actually have a new section to add to our podcast here, so let's go ahead and hear that.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching question to my Twitter audience, then summarize the replies and post it on my website. This is what I call the geocaching question of the day. This last week, I posed the question, if you found part of a geocache, but not all of it, do you still claim a find? 56% of the people that replied said no log, no find. 44% replied yes. These people said that after contacting the cache owner and confirming what was found was part of the original cache, they claimed the find. Would you claim the find? I'd like to know. Want to find out more? Follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
So that's a section that we plan on having every week. That's the Bad Cop on Twitter, and he asks the questions every day. And so we decided to have him pose some of those questions here on the podcast. Now we also have another voicemail called in from Nevada Wolf. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
Hey guys, this is Nevada Wolf, and I just finished listening to the Cache Run episode. One thing I wanted to point out, which was a trick my dad came up with on our last power run, because power notes, you can set the field notes and also the GC account. What I did was I just uploaded my field notes under my account, and I made sure that as I was logging, I logged everything, even the ones I had already hit. And so I changed the name and just uploaded them into his account also. So whoever is navigating or whoever is logging can just log everything, and then everybody involved in the power run can have field notes uploaded automatically just from that one file. Thought it was a neat trick, and it definitely saved us some time. Have a great day. Love the show. Bye.
Well, Andy, that really does bring up some good points about using field notes, and you don't have to have power notes to do it. Pretty much it works with any of the devices that will generate field notes aside from geocaching.com's iPhone app and the Geocache Navigator, which posts directly to the website. But if you have something like the Oregon, the Colorado, the PN40, all these things, along with the power notes and What was that earlier one? Bishop's Field Notes?
Yeah.
Is that still even supported?
It was Field Notes. I don't know if it's actually supported. I know he stopped. The development kind of branched off into Power Notes, but then he kind of stopped developing it because it was pretty much all he could take. Field Notes is as far as he could go. I don't know if it's still around or not.
Yeah, but in any of these cases, those will generate the files. So what we've done on a lot of these trips is we'll just go log all of them, take the file, confirm that everything is good, and then we have all the caches in there that should be, and then we distribute that file to everyone that was in the group. So it does make it really fast, really easy to go and log all the caches for everyone in the group, because it's just upload and then post your field notes. And with most of them, you can actually put little notes in as to, you know, this was find number blah, you know, log was wet, you can do all that kind of stuff, and then everyone has those notes, and they don't have to go manually check off, you know, okay, I have to upload this one, I have to, or log this one, you know, that was a real pain before the field notes.
Yes, it was.
We actually did that once, and like 84 caches that we had to go and confirm by hand that we had them all, and we're sitting there checking them off against the spreadsheet, and oh, what a mess.
Yeah, it was. That was one of the things that I was really happy to see Groundspeak implement is the field notes, and not just allow it for the geocache navigator, but allow us to actually upload the file. And I do a little bit different than Nevada Wolf, because usually when we do cache runs like that, we go for ones that none of us in the group have hit. So we can just hand the file off to that person. We don't need to log everything, even if we've already found it, because we usually haven't found something that the other person hasn't.
It's a lot more fun to go out on the power runs when no one has found the caches. If you have one person in the group that knows exactly where the cache is because they've done it before, it's not challenging. It's more like a guided tour sometimes.
True. Yeah. And you know, so for us, it's not so much of making sure that, you know, just logging everything. We log everything anyways, but you know, that's what we did this last time we ran. I logged everything on Power Notes because that's what we use. And then I handed the file, I emailed the file to my dad and allowed him to upload and, you know, change the log if he wanted to. Because, you know, that's one of the great things about field notes is even if you, you know, in the field log thanks for the cache or that's all you, you know, log or find them or whatever. Once you upload that to geocaching.com, it doesn't go live to your it doesn't log it live. It puts it in the field notes section. And so it allows you to go ahead and edit that log. It was, for us, even if we wanted to edit the log, we could. I think most of the time we didn't edit the log. We just kept the same, same log from person to person. And, you know, I've got those. I kind of wonder if people are going to get kind of irritated with that as the cache owner, because I logged it and my dad logged it the same log. But, me as a cache owner, I don't. If two people have the same post, I don't get too, irritated with that. I mean, even a lot of times when, I've got several caches that I own around here, and I see the same log from cacher to cacher, the same cacher, if they log multiple of my caches at once, they use the same log too. So for me, it's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah, copy-paste logging is not exactly something I encourage, but you really can't avoid it when you're out on power runs. And when you're out as a group, and you got 100 caches with maybe four different teams to log, think of it as like 400 logs. You really want to write 400 separate logs?
No, I know I don't.
Yeah, so I prefer that you get some nice log that talks about the cache or whatever. But, especially when you're doing these power runs, it's like LPCs and, quick parking grabs. And those aren't caches that I typically write big logs for anyway. It's usually just a thanks for the log. Okay, see you later.
Yeah, that for me is the same thing too. So, but changing the name, that is, like you said, one of the greatest things about field notes is it is a text file. You go ahead and do that. One of the things, I like about using Bishop's Power Notes as opposed to any of the other GPSs or the created or whatever is the fact that be able to use variables in there too. It automatically keeps track of my find numbers and the time and the average time between it. So that's one of the good things that I liked about it. I mean, if you want to look at any of my logs from our past run, you'll see that, I did that. I kept, status of what log it was or, what find it was, my total fines, the time between fines. So it adds a lot more to that. But, you know, it is one of the great things about it is it being a text file.
Yeah, and that's the only thing I know of, at least right now, that will do that kind of automated detail in the logging is the power nodes. None of the GPSs do that yet. It's something that I'd really like to see, though. And at this point, no one has gone and done the effort because I think everyone's a little bit more focused on fixing more significant bugs and adding cool new features.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we had to push off our ethics of logging topic. So we want to push that off for another 2 weeks so that we can do the GPS show next week.
Sure. Let's do that. Next week, we'll be doing the GPSR upgrades show, and then the following week, we will go ahead and do the Ethics of Logging show. So make sure you join us both of those weeks with your comments and questions. Join us next week if you have questions about upgrading your GPSR, and the following week as we talk about the Ethics of Logging.
And don't forget, if you can't join us live, that's fine. Just call in your comments and questions to 206-350-3GPS, and we'll play them in the show and talk about them on the shows.
We want to thank everybody who supports this show. You can find more information on our website at www.geocachingpodcast.info. We do this show every Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our Talkcast ID is 7525. And again, our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. And we have a voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS. We welcome your comments any time of the day or night. Go ahead and leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.